Hello, this is the Tor Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. Currently, I am your singular host, Lehman, but very soon we will have Jay and Mark magically appear as normal. Basically, this is an intro to the intro, because after our last recording, it ended up being about an hour and 30 minutes. And while we stretched the hour to be hour 15, hour 10 minutes, or sometimes a little bit less, I felt an hour and a half was just a little too much. So by taking an email that we answered and cutting that, we get it more in line with our hourly or close enough to an hour episode. So having said that, this episode here will be about cyberware, about the prosthetics, and then the next episode that we will have will be answering that email. And you also can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. And if you get it to us before we make that recording, we'll tack it on and we'll have just an email, fan email episode. So having said that, I'm going to have a very bad cut into that episode about cyberware, because I have dismal editing skills and I just try to do the best that I can. So, hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Lehman, Jay, and Mark, and today we will be getting back into cyberware with prosthetics. But now let's go ahead and jump into cybernetics, the prosthetics. We will start off with, I'm going to go alphabetical order. The book on page, Cyberpapacy book, page 36 and 37. In the text, it's slightly out of order, but I'll go down the order of the table, which is more alphabetical in order. So we'll start off with Comte's clenching cleats. They are $1,000 cyberware, and it's an upgrade to a pair of hard plast legs that features an auto-retracting cleats and grips which can grab even small rocks. Dexterity or strength tests involving climbing and balance are favored. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Comte's clenching cleats?
It's a tough call, because it's only, they're 1,000, so it's not crazy. And favored on climbing is not bad, because you do have to climb sometimes. Mm-hmm. Balance, not so much, but The thing is, you can often get favored on those kind of tests by just having a rope or climbing gear. So this is basically climbing gear that can't be taken away from you, but is probably contradictory. So because of that, I don't know if I would take it. If it was 500, it'd probably be like, yeah, no problem. But 1,000 is maybe a little bit too. But if you're making like a rough and tumble outdoorsman, and to be honest, I think I actually did take this on my drone guy, because I wanted him to be able to get to like weird vantage points and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not a first choice, is basically what I'll say.
Mark, your thoughts on Comte's clenching cleats?
Well, Jay pointed out that it's 1,000, but it's not really 1,000. It's 6,000, because you can't take this unless you have the legs first, and the legs are 5. We'll get to those. Mm-hmm. So this is an upgrade. This is not a, I've got 1,000 left over, where do I put this? Oh, let me put this on my feet. That's not how this works. You got to have the legs. That said, climbing and balance tests are favored. So it's... there is no climbing and balance skill, right? So what test is favored? Is it dex tests and strength tests when you're climbing and you're trying to keep your balance? Okay, so there's an ambiguity there that opens you up for some amount of discussion with your with your GM or player, depending on what direction you go. If you as a player take this and have a specific idea of what you want to use it for in mind because of who you've built as a character, I would highly recommend that you make sure your GM is on board with what you think it's going to do, so that you don't just, hey, I want to do this thing, and then all of a sudden this thousand that you spent on your legs doesn't work the way you wanted it to because your GM has a different interpretation of what a balance and a strength test is. But as Jay pointed out, there's a lot of ways to get that kind of thing. I mean, get your strength or your dex tests, strength or dex tests favored, and now this is covered. So yeah, thousand, I'd consider it. I'd probably consider it because it's inexpensive in the grand scheme, but would I like it more and throw it on more often if it were 500? Probably. But I'd still have to consider it because it's limited use.
I think Mark made a good point, and this is an upgrade to the hard plast legs, and there's also upgrade to the hard plast arms. So after I give my view on this, maybe we'll go ahead and do those two first. So then when we get to the upgrades, it'll make sense what you're upgrading. I think your point, Mark, on getting with your game master to figure out how useful or not this will be is a good point. As a game master, I could see this being used for anything from you're on a ship that there's big waves. There's multiple adventures where it's like have to roll something to, or you get knocked overboard, or, you know, big wind comes up and it'll knock you off a cliff or any of that stuff. I would let this go. I would let this be an instant. It, you know, your little talon things come out
and
grip you to whatever surface you're on, to allow it to work. But that would be something, you know, how are the adventures planned and stuff. So I can see this as being really useful. I don't think it's as niche as some of the things that we've talked about in the past. If I had hard plast legs and I had an extra thousand, I could see getting this, but after reading hard plast legs, I don't think it's quite as there's a redundancy that we'll get to. So let's just now, I'll get into the hard plast legs. So it says always installed as a pair, so you can't just do one or the other leg. These prosthetics entirely replace the legs of the character from the hip bone down. The character halves falling damage and can leap twice the distance as normal. You look at the Torg Eternity rules to see how leaping both vertically and horizontally go. And it says additionally, strength tests are favored and the character gains plus 2 armor, but only in the legs. And as Mark had said, these are 5,000. So if you're playing a cyberpapal character and you are starting, this is half your budget to get your legs replaced. The redundancy that I was seeing was that this gives you your strength tests are favored, and the Compte or the clenching cleats, the strength tests involving climbing and balance are favored. So your strength tests are kind of already favored. So I would probably just give them a bonus because I wouldn't want to lessen the clenching cleats. So that's probably something that I would allow. The hard plast legs themselves give strength. The clenching cleats give dexterity and then a bonus as well as favored for strength. But then I'm dealing with house rules and not as written. So, Jay, your thoughts on the hard plast legs?
That strength tests are favored is extraordinarily vague. Mm-hmm. right? Because there's no way it can mean all strength tests are
I'm favored. Arm wrestling.
Yeah, I'm swinging my sword, but I've got these cyber legs. And I know there's some swordsman out there who's going to be like, oh, well, it lets you
It does say, do but this. Only on the legs. That's kind of added after the armor, which is in the same sentence, but it kind of is in the same sentence with strength tests are favored. So I kind of read that as any strength that you would use your legs for.
Mm-hmm. Which would be what normally?
Lifting with your lift with your legs.
Lift with your legs, not with your back.
It's kind of funny that the clenching cleats also, I mean, are feet only, but climbing, I mean, you would think having hand upgrades would help with that too. But anyway, overall, they also like having falling damage. How often does falling damage happen? Is the thing. Doubling leaping can be very good in niche circumstances. It's one of those things that suddenly becomes very important. And if you've ever used a bunch of Jiangshi against people, you can see that leaping can sometimes really help. And the armor on the legs is decent, except I would imagine most characters who are doing this kind of thing are probably going to have armor already. The fact that it's a one buy for $5,000 is all right, unlike the arms, which we'll get to. But I don't know if I would ever really take... I don't think I've actually seen any of my players ever take hard plast legs. So I don't know what sort of goal you would have in mind for taking them. And I can't remember if there is something... Yeah, the spring foot, I guess, is probably what I would be aiming for if I took these. But then it gets to be a convoluted, I got to take these before I get the thing I actually want, which is how some things work. But I would put legs below arms, that's for sure.
Mark, your thoughts on the hard plast legs?
So I got a pet peeve, and we're right here, and so we'll just throw it out there. I dislike very much the way that Torg does +2 armor, but only on the legs, because Torg doesn't use a hit location system, and so having armor in specific locations, how does that work? You don't have +2 armor now. You only have +2 armor in the legs, so the only time that's going to matter is if my bad guy decides to make a called shot to your right leg or your left leg. Mm-hmm. And why am I going to do that? I mean, when is that going to come up? Oh, you're running and I want to slow you down. Maybe, but I can count the number of times on my, my cat's paw that's ever happened. My cat doesn't have fingers. So, it's just not a thing it needs to be done differently. I don't know how. I'm not going to delve into that at this point. I just don't like how it's like this location is +2 armor. So how do you adjudicate that? The legs, I've never seen anybody take them. They for what you get out of it, I think 5,000 is a little expensive for what you can do with it. It's probably in line with the other with hard plast arms, 5,000 for one, but this is 5,000 for two limbs. So I mean, is that fair? I understand why. We'll get to the arm. Like Jay said, we'll get to the arm. But these are done as a pair, but they're below the hip, I think is how it said it, right? From the hips down.
Hip bone down, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's two independent legs, but if you put it into if you just take the hip bones out, and that's what's intended is everything from the waist down is now cybernetic, which, okay, now I get it a lot. And if you wanted to do, given Pan Pacifica, if you wanted to give specific bonuses or advantages against something that leaps at you, like Jiangshi, because you can leap too and you understand how it works, maybe you have an advantage or you're immune to that or something, which would be a nice little touch with that. It's niche, but
I guess you could also say your unarmed attacks are kicks.
If you were a martial artist, maybe you get a strength bonus to your martial arts kicks. Because we say, when we've talked about martial arts, it's it's not just your punches. It's all, you know, any attack, because I can kick. Martial artists can turn their body as a weapon, right? And so if I now have hard plast legs and I've taken a martial art and I kick at you, shouldn't I have a strength bonus to that? I mean, you've given me all kinds of strength related stuff the legs do. So shouldn't I have like a plus one or plus two to damage when I kick you with my legs? So maybe I'm a Muay Thai and it's all about my kicks and whatnot. I don't know. They just seem a little expensive for what you get out of it.
I've had one player that took these, but it was in preparation for one of the upgrades. So that's one of the things that I kind of see. When I played a Cyber Papal character, I didn't do the legs because I don't think they're bad. I just think there's other things that are more tempting and more things that kind of get into my, I need this if I'm going to go with a cyberware character. But some of the upgrades are pretty decent that we'll get into. The armor is both on called shots, as well as sometimes there's the effects that target or you take damage of whatever your lowest armor is. This is one of the things where you as a game master in your group will need to decide, because I know there's a lot of players out there who love those called shots, but then get really mad if a game master calls shots against them. You know, I'm going to shoot for the head. Well, I'm going to shoot back at your head. You can't do that. I'm a Storm Knight.
We had a headshot last night, yeah.
Type thing. So how well are you? Do you use called shots? Do you not use them? Do you sometimes use them? That's going to affect the armor. The strength test being favored, I would probably use that for a lot of stuff. Even if, like, oh, here's a big portcullis that has fallen that we need to lift up. And if the guy was like, I'm going to lay on my back and use my legs, I'd be like, go ahead. You know, you bought the legs, so cool. Yep. Cool way to bring it into play. If you can convince me, and not a hard convince, but if you can make something seem cinematically logical,
plausible,
right, then I'm going to allow that. So let's do the flip side on the arms, the base arms, and then we'll get back to the kind of a lot of these other things or upgrades to them. So the hard plast arm is one of the hero's arms is replaced by a cybernetic version. It increases strength tests and damage based on strength, so not by shooting, by plus one, and has plus two armor on that limb only. So if you only have one arm, again, you have armor that is, that one arm has the plus two and nothing else. The arm's armor protects the character's torso if he takes an active defense. So you're kind of like putting that arm in front of you, or the, like Jay just showed, the two arms.
Winter Soldier style.
Then the strength, the armor protects the characters if he takes an active defense. The strength and damage increase applies only to tests and attacks made with that limb. The implant may be installed a second time, which grants a total bonus of plus two to strength tests and damage if both arms are used, such as with two-handed weapons. So if you have a long, like a normal sword that's a one-handed weapon, you don't get the plus two bonus. You'd only get the plus one bonus. But if you have a two-handed weapon, then you get the plus two bonus to strength tests and damage, and applies the armor bonus, of course, to both limbs. One limb is 5,000. So if you're going to go both limbs and you're a starting character, this is your budget. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on the hard plass arm?
This I have seen taken numerous times. This is also somewhat dependent on the current interpretation of the wording. I know it started one way and then it got errated another, and it sounded like from what we talked about a few weeks ago, it may have been errated again. So originally, this was like primo, like, if you're a melee character, this is what you want, because it increases your strength It was not a bonus, so it stacked with that. It just increased your strength. And because it was from Cyberware, it did not necessarily increase like your XP costs. It was just an increase to it afterwards. But now it's sounding like it might actually increase your XP cost, which makes it not as good. But back then, that was great. The plus two armor on the limb is nice, but in the realm where you can get Hallow Mesh for plus three for pretty cheap, it's not that big of a deal. Except the fact that having a cyber arm is actually less suspicious than wearing Hallow Mesh, I guess. The active defense is a nice little, you know, if you need to do it thing. But basically, you're paying just to get a plus one or plus two to damage, essentially. But that is often worth it. That's the big thing. Like this was used a lot, and then people would end up getting the the GWI hammer. I can't remember what it's called. There was a two-handed weapon, and then eventually get the Tharkold one. But you know,
the impact hammer.
Yeah, but there's so they could just deal out insane damage with this. It's sort of the Cyber Pepple melee build, but it is an all or nothing kind of build because getting both arms takes up your entire first cyberware allotment, and there's probably some other stuff you might want as well. And even outside of that, it can be useful to get if you're not a melee combatant necessarily, it can be useful to get it if you're like an infiltrator, which we'll come to in a little bit. But I found that if you're taking it for other reasons, you kind of just turn into a melee combatant anyway, since you've already got the bonus, you know? It's not like in some other games where they'll have the basic cyberware and then you can get, like, rams or whatever to increase the melee. This automatically comes with the melee, like, the damage increase. So why not? You might as well just go for it.
Mark, your thoughts on the hardplast arm?
Your point about the lowest armor, I hadn't considered that. That's, I guess that's okay. So
we're stepping on landmines.
Yeah. this is a lot like the legs, but it's a little bit better defined in that, as Jay pointed out, it's kind of the Cyber Papacy melee build, which I've seen frequently. I think my AI has an arm, but I've also got the Trigun dicers, so it helps with the, because that's the melee weapon that character has. The active defense is a nice touch. My character doesn't wear Hollow Mesh, so it's nice to be able to do that. And as I say that, I don't think I ever have. I think I've only taken an active defense a couple of times, though, especially since my character picked up magic. Now I have stuff to do that's not just, oh, my cyber deck, I can't do anything now. Let me just wait until combat's over, and then I'll go help somebody. Or trick you over here, and trick you over there, and trick you over there. It's not. I mean, it's very cyber papacy. Having hard plast legs or hard plast arms, very cyber papacy. I mean, it's replacing a limb, and that's, you know, in the story of Malro coming over and showing up. People just, you know, that's one of the things they brought was the ability to give people who didn't have these limbs, and they just gave them away, which was miraculous to the folks that had legs that couldn't, that weren't worked, or that didn't work, that were paralyzed, arms that couldn't, you know, quadriplegics and paraplegics suddenly are moving around again because of this miracle from the cyber pope. So is there a lot of backstory reasons that your character, your cyber papacy character, would take this? Yes, there's probably lots of backstory reasons why you would take this or take the legs. In the grand scheme of things, though, two arms as number one perk, that's if you've got a vision, run with it. I've done that before, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Play your character. It's a lot of fun to build that role play and then see how it plays out. just from a numbers crunching thing, that's a tough pill to swallow.
So I will say, I had a vision of a cybernetic musketeer named Pierre, and I only took one arm. His thing was he was going to have the Sword of David, GWI power sword in rapier form, and would only need the one arm. And so I only got the one arm, and I enjoyed it because in certain he didn't have a super high strength, but that just that plus one got him to where he was one of the stronger characters. So he could, when strength tests were needed to lift something, he could either help with the extra effort, or he could just do those if the other strong people were gone. And the plus one damage is just nice. And as Jay said, the original core rules kind of, if you look at the chart, it just says plus one strength with that arm. If you read the detail of it, it says plus one to tests and plus one damage. And then you have to figure out, okay, did I want it just a plus one with the arm strength? How does that mess with the attributes? If it's a bonus, then does it, you know, what does it stack with? What doesn't it stack with? But if that's kind of your plus one and you're not really worried about a bunch of other stuff and you get a nice, you know, power sword that you can use one-handed, that's a point added to there. You can use your strength tests elsewhere. And really, a plus one to strength is like having a strength of that higher if you can use it in that situation. So for the most part, your strength is increased by plus one, just not with the XP getting involved with it. So I like this by itself. Like I said, I've seen hard plast legs on characters with the upgrades that we'll talk about. But even with the upgrades for the arm, like the slicers, the dicers, the power fist, and the various other weapons that you can put on the arm, which I have seen, I think this is just good by itself. For the even for half of the cost, I think I went that. I went some eyes later on. I added some other stuff, but I never went back to the arm for that character. Having the one cybernetic arm was perfectly. I was perfectly happy with. So now let's move back to some of the.
I think it is worth mentioning that the prosthetic limbs that the cyber papacy gave everyone for free are not these.
Yes.
They're just ones that still have your normal attributes, but these are the ones that the cyber priests and the actual members of the church had. Only the pious laity would have this upgraded stuff, and you've got them because some cyberleggers ripped it off of some church police or what have you. Yeah, so keep in mind also
with it or something.
Yeah, keep in mind it's not that everyone's walking around with this stuff. So it's not like everyone you meet in the cyber papacy doesn't have plus one strength.
Right. So the normal prosthesis are just your normal stat that probably look like your arm. They have the synth skin covering and such like that. So let's move on to we talked about the cleats, the Comte's crazy fingers. So the fingers of a hard plast cyberarm, so you need the cyberarm, are enhanced with highly agile fibers. Dexterity tests involving manual agility are favored, e.g. using keyboards, lock picking. If both are upgraded, the tests gain a plus 4 bonus instead, and these are 2,500. So Jay, what are your thoughts of the crazy fingers?
They are crazy. Crazy good if this is what you're doing. Also, this is the most, what, again, one of the most extraordinarily vague descriptions. Keyboards? So it's like, using a keyboard to what? To do computers tests? But it says dexterity tests, so what are you normally doing a dexterity test on a keyboard for? Or can it be a musical keyboard? Does it help you play? But anyway, it's mainly going to be used for an infiltrator, generally speaking, someone who's either picking pockets or lock picking. And favored is okay. Favored comes and goes, no problem. +4, on the other hand, is a rare treat to achieve. And so if you want to make an infiltrator, and Cyberpapacy has probably some of the best infiltrators with the hollow clasps and all, and the some of the cyberware we discussed previously, then this is crazy for lockpicking. However, it's expensive because you want both arms and this twice. So that's like 15K right there. And locked doors generally are openable by other means anyways. So most adventures, if there's going to be a locked door, don't, at least probably shouldn't, design it so that a failed lockpicking test shuts down the whole adventure. There's usually some other way to get around it. So having a super high lockpicking isn't necessarily needed, but it can often get you some, bonus things. What this is really good for is groups that are more proactive. If you're playing more of like an open worldy style game, and you're not just going on the mission, if you're kind of making your own operations, playing it kind of more Shadowrun Cyberpunk style, then something like this is going to be very, very handy. Literally. So I really like this one, but be aware it is expensive.
Mark, your thoughts on the crazy fingers?
So I realized that the dex tests involving manual agility are favored, but it says using keyboards. You might consider that might give them a +2 on a computer's test if it's involving typing. I realize that's not a dexterity test, but
yeah.
I think the intent of the perk with that added to it is
so you're like,
that you can type
faster and more accurate,
crazy fast, because it's crazy, yeah. Crazy fingers, right? So that kind of strikes me as something that's that super handy, literally. I like Jay's approach as an infiltrator. There's a lot of stuff here that. From the standpoint of your GM, convincing your GM that what you want to do is applicable to this, the bonus ought to be added in. I mean, you have very dexterous fingers, so what does that apply to? Well, like clearly at lock picking, computers maybe, keyboards, typing, anything I got to do, if you got a DSR where we got to disarm the bomb and get the wires, maybe you convince the GM, hey, do my comp D fingers help me with selecting the correct wire? Sure. Things of that nature might be really good. And I do, +4 is hard to come by. I mean, you put conditions on foes, and you have to get good and outstanding to get +4s on them. Just getting granted +4. And I read this, tell me when we get to you, Liam, and if this is intended to be favored and +4, if you've got them both, I kind of read that way.
It says instead, though.
Yeah.
If both are upgraded, does it test gains a +4 bonus instead?
Oh, yeah, it sure does. Okay. Never mind.
It gets converted.
Yeah, never
it's
mind.
It's not that crazy.
Yeah, but still +4 is
super
still
crazy
+4
fingers.
Is really good.
The upgrade.
Super
the upgrade.
Crazy fingers. That's right. Yeah, they're good at 2,500. I consider them. I think I might have. I don't remember if I've got that on my AI or not. I know I have the arm for the Trigon slicers, but I've got a weapons dock on there too, because that's how you get to the eye, which we've covered before, which makes him useful with, you know, the bell snipe and the gun. So yeah, I like them. They're not overly expensive for a one pair, but because you have to have buy the second arm to get the second pair to get the +4, it almost to me becomes cost prohibitive at that point. I don't know that I've seen anybody do that path.
Yeah, I like the idea a lot. I haven't seen anybody with it. I definitely was thinking, as you stated, disarming a bomb or something during a DSR, I'd completely allow this with. In my personal DSRs, I also like adding repair type things. DSRs, I have there's the stereotype cliche of your helicopters and airplanes crashing, and I add to that by very often an engine will go out, and then a DSR of fixing the engine. So any mechanic type things I would allow this for. So for your air vehicles or your land vehicles, water vehicles, using it with, even though it's offered as the using the different attributes, and a lot of times they talk about it being mind, I would allow this to be dexterity. I would allow either the favored or the +4, depending if you had one or two hands. Getting the lock picking's nice. Typing faster on your keyboard, because that's how it works in movies and, you know, in TV shows and movies. Even two people typing on one keyboard fast is better than one person. You type half the letters and I got the other laugh, and we're mentally linked. So, you know, things like that happen. Let it happen in Torg Eternity. It's all fun. So these are ones that, If you're going the infiltrator, I wouldn't probably, well, it wouldn't work with your first perk, and maybe not your second, but on your third perk, if you're going that way, this would be a decent thing to pick up. So let's move on to Comp Day's Rocket Jumpers, which is a pair of hard class cyberlegs are upgraded with small rocket systems. Allows a jump up to 2 times a character's base move once per turn, but a character is vulnerable. He may instead jump up to his run move, but becomes very vulnerable. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on the rocket jumpers?
Okay, so I misspoke earlier about the regular hard class legs letting you leap like Zhang Shi. They don't. This is what does it. Normally, leaping distance, you have to make a strength test against a difficulty number. So if you just want to leap 3 meters, it's difficulty 12, right? So presumably this would also be favored from your hard plast legs. Mm-hmm. And because you have hard plast legs, you would go 6 meters instead. But that does require a check. Whereas if you have these rocket jumpers, then it becomes twice your regular move, right? So it's going to be considerably further, 2 times your base move once per turn. And becoming vulnerable, I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. You can also jump even further and become very vulnerable. Now, keep in mind that might be an issue with other things. So if you're in melee and already vulnerable, you might not be able to do it necessarily. But if you're not vulnerable already, it's a good get out of dodge if you really need to. If you are a melee character, this can be very good because it gets you right into it very quickly. Although I've found a lot of combats in Torg tend to start relatively close. Sometimes it is good to have like a long range. Like you might be shooting across the street or something, and you might be open to fire if you're actually just running across. But if you zoom over, especially if there's like guys in the way, this can really help. Because it doesn't necessarily help let you move further than you normally could. It just lets you jump over stuff. But overall, for the price, it is kind of expensive, especially given that the hard plast legs weren't quite as good as I thought they were. So, I mean, it's okay. Yeah, you got to really want to go fast.
Mark, what are your thoughts on the Comp Day's rocket jumpers?
Other than covering a lot of ground really fast, like jumping, because it's kind of cool, it doesn't really get you anything. You give up vulnerable. You become vulnerable instead of, running and taking a -2 to your action, which is nice, right? You're easier to hit, and you don't have to give up -2 to cover a bunch of distance to get to a foe. So, cool. Okay. Is that worth $3,000? You have to decide on that one. I missed that the legs don't do it either, Jay. I just kind of ran with it, so...
Yeah.
We were like, yep, that's like, what they do.
Yeah, the legs give you a slightly better thing. These give you the big jump, but at the cost of vulnerable or very vulnerable. I'll say this one, I have a player who is playing a Cyber Templar, and he picked the hard plast legs with these rocket jumpers. And I at least thought about trying to talk him out of it, because I just was like, I don't think this is worth it. But he has brought it into so many situations where it has helped not just him get into fights, but help the group, as in, like, a lot of the people are ranged, so he can jump to one part of the bad guys, and then the ranged people are still at range instead of, he kind of holds them off and is like, go ahead and shoot at me, with the firing into melee rules. And he's used it to cut off people trying to escape by, jumping up and or jumping over and getting to them fast enough. People trying to run away or higher, lower locations. I want to say we were talking about the Fires of Ra. There are some aerial battles and ways that he used this to, go from one plane to another plane. And with the understanding that he was going to have to make some difficult staying balanced rolls. But he has pulled off everything. So I think if you're a player who likes the idea of this jumping, you will be able to find creative ways of using this and making it worth the total would be 8,000, the 5,000 for the hard plast legs, and these are the rocket jumpers are 3,000. Again, when I first read this, I did not think it was that great, especially with the vulnerable and the very vulnerable, but in play, I've seen it actually come into use, and it wasn't just it was that one time. This player has brought this into multiple situations and have made it useful. So that's just my firsthand experience on it. But we can move on to the Compte Springfoot. The Springfoot is 1,000. It's also an upgrade. And the hard plast cyber legs are upgraded with internal and external hydraulic springs that increase the character's base move by +2. So basically, if you have your hard plast legs, you add this, your movements increase by 2. So your running rush speed would be increased by 6. And I would assume anything based off of those with any of the other stuff would be advanced also. So what would your thoughts on the Springfoot be?
Very good. So good. Like, criminally undercosted. Especially if you then take the quick perk after this. You can get around. Now, a lot of this will depend on how your game works. I use a virtual tabletop, and I actually measure things. I know a lot of people kind of do more zone-based theater of the mind, like, ah, you're here, you're over there. So in that case, like a plus two here and there probably isn't going to be a huge deal. But if you are keeping track of exact movement, then it is actually a pretty big deal, because it's probably not going to be the slow character that takes this. Mm-hmm. People generally don't take upgrades to bring themselves up to average. They take upgrades to become exceptional. So you're going to really have somebody getting across. And because this increases your base move, it's debatable, but how's it worded again? Yep. So that does stack with the rocket jumpers. Mm-hmm. It lets you jump farther as well. So, and if memory serves, there's no limit on how many upgrades can go in a limb, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I remember there was in Classic Torque, I believe. But
Yes, there was.
But... So yeah, you can have... So if you're already paying for the rocket jumpers, there is no reason to not get this spring foot as well. But I would see people be more likely to get the spring foot in the first place.
So, Mark, what are your thoughts on the Comp Day spring foot?
Yeah, I agree with Jay that this is a super valuable if you're tabletop, you use minis and measure it out and do meters and all of that for it. It's the beginning of broken in some cases, depending on how you go with it. In Theater of the Mind, it's still pretty good too, because you can make the case to your GM that you can do things because of this that's a little more esoteric than just 2 meters or whatever. So it has advantages in both cases. You just have to play it properly and approach it with the idea that you're not going to get everything you want all the time, but if you're creative with your approach, then you can get it. I think it's priced appropriately. I like the 1,000 because it's really, you're just getting 2 to the base move. And if it's not a prerequisite to anything, it is an upgrade to the legs. So you got to get the legs already. So you got $5,000 for the legs and you're putting this on it, and then you can do other things with it as well. So I like this. To me, this is where the upgrades ought to be priced, is in this realm, because it's what it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I like it. Just the flat, there's no ambiguity in it. It's just plus 2 move, and then whatever is increases movement, whether as Jay said, the quick perk or getting the rocket jumpers that are based off of it. It's just more upgrades, and you're going to have those people that have the that want this are going to start off with a high enough dex, a 12, a 13 or so, and this is just going to put them even higher. And when you're going on a chase, it might be able to get you past that normal cap that you you get the ceiling, depending on what other things you can stack up there. But plus 2 movement, if you rush, that's a plus 6 more meters on a virtual tabletop that you're actually using the measurements, which is how I tend to play. When I do it in person, my groups prefer Theater of the Mind. For some reason, when we play on virtual tabletops, they prefer the battle map type things. But as Mark said, even in Theater of the Mind, if this is something that I had 2 people, you know, 2 characters, and I'm like, okay, they're saying we're next to each other, and the one rushes over, or the one runs over, rushes, whatever, or even walks over, and I say, you get there, but you needed to kind of rush a little just because it wasn't quite there, so, you know, you're going to take the penalty. And if the guy reminded me, hey, I have these spring foot, then I'd be like, okay, you can get there without the penalty. So that's fine. Let's move on.
The only issue is that there's technically nothing actually called your base move.
I guess it's just called move.
Yeah, it's just your dexterity. Base, yeah.
Yeah, don't let the details get in the way, Jay. Come on.
Dexterity becomes move, so just this adds to your move. It does not add to your dex, so it's not an attribute stack. It's a move stack. So let's move on to Comte's vacuum palm.
Skipping the Trilon tendons.
The tendons.
Because
it's at the beginning, remember?
Yeah, it's at the beginning. So let's go back to the Trilon tendons. Sorry. The text, because I've been reading the text, that is in a different order than the chart. So the Comte's Trilon tendons are structures that anchor the muscles to the skeleton, and this install replaces all the tendons in the user's body with stronger but still flexible materials. The user's strength tests become favored. So these are 3,000. So what do you think of the Trilon tendons, Jay?
No fuss, no muss. Strength is favored. 3K sounds fine to me. I mean, there's not too many things that you're actually making strength tests on normally. And technically, they do count for, I guess, defeat tests if your strength is low. But yeah, they're all right. If you don't want to go with the extreme expense of arms and like all that stuff that we've been talking about, this is just a nice way to get your strength tests favored. So fine, I think 3,000 is probably all right for it. It's something. Strength test is the kind of thing if you want to go around lifting things, you make them happen on your own.
Mark, your thoughts on the Trilon tendons?
I think it's a little pricey just to get your strength tests favored. As we've been pointing out, there are a number of ways to get your strength tests favored. Just in this table alone, and it's kind of redundant, especially if you're going to do some of these other things like putting legs in there and arms in there. This is the whole body, right? So
you don't have to justify it to your game master.
That's right. Just take it. But as Jay started out, no fuss, no muss. It's very simple. You get strength tests favored for replacing the tendons in your body. I would question whether or not this would apply to a defeat test based on strength, because this is for strength tests. And I don't think it's a strength test when you test for defeat and use strength. Because you're using the lesser of the two for your test. Now, if I'm in a weak moment and I like the character and want them to survive, do I let them favor it? Maybe. But, you know, rules as written, and Liaman gets to – I'll let you chime in on this one. Is it a strength test if it's a defeat test that uses strength?
It's a defeat test that triggers either a strength or spirit. So if your strength was either lower – or tied, say I was playing a character that I wanted a decent strength and spirit for the shock. I'm a warrior. I want strength.
Yeah.
But I want spirit for the shock. So
you're a Templar or something.
Or
Hospital. Templar
or Musketeer.
So you have both of them, and they're both there, and you choose this. And you need to make a defeat test. Sure,
I'm going. Okay, so strength. It is a strength test. It's
so I'm going to use defeat strength test. For my strength test for defeat. Yes, and that basically does that. Or if you want to stack it with one of the perks that allows you to choose strength, because and here's the thing. I know because I've. Read it very recently when they talk about a defeat test, and the example in the core rules is like so-and-so is making a defeat test. Their strength and spirit are the same, but they have a willpower card that is used for spirit tests, so therefore it applies. So that's why I would say that this applies, what over there. Okay. And then if you have adrenaline, you could use your adrenaline cards to help you with that defeat test. So that's what I'm going off of that example in the book.
Okay.
So yeah, I think this is I like the clear cutness of it, as Jay said. It's just very simple. It does a thing, and it's a price. And if you think that thing is worth the price, then go for it. And it's not an upgrade, so you don't worry about buying anything else for it. And then it's also no justification of, yeah, I'm going to get on my back and use my leg, you know, push with my legs. You just,
nope,
I'm going to do this. I have it. So I think that's very, that's nice.
Simple.
So now we'll switch back to the vacuum palm. This upgrade to a palm of the Hardplast Cyberarm features a strong vacuum and seal, as well as locking mechanisms to grab rock outcroppings and limbs. These features allow a character to ignore 6 points of penalties for climbing tests. If 2 Cyberarms are upgraded, and this is where the language is going to allow both things to happen, those tests are also favored. So what are, so it's almost like the suction cup type thing going on. So Comp Day's vacuum palm, Jay.
These are so amazingly good, but so amazingly expensive for what they are.
5,000.
Ignoring 6 points of, 5,000. Ignoring 6 points of penalties is crazy, because if you look at the difficulty chart for climbing, the maximum difficulty is 16. And it's worded as those are modifiers. So if you have this, it's just a DN10, baby, for whatever you're doing. And because it's ignoring a penalty, it's not giving a bonus. It stacks with anything that the cleats would give you. So you can be favored and you can ignore the penalties. If you have both arms, then you get both anyway. But that's pretty expensive.
Right. So, and it's usually a strength test, so then you, depending on what other things you have, you could add your strength bonus or strength test bonuses to it.
Exactly, yeah. So this thing just can make you demolish that climbing. But on the other hand, maybe you just jump up there with your rocket jumpers, or you have an ability to fly. Anyway, so someone has a fly spell, they can just cast that all they want on people. So it's up to you, but like it's if you want to climb, if you really want to climb, then this is the one for you. Now, I would also probably let you get a bonus against being disarmed and possibly give you bonuses to grappling as well, given what it is, but that's not actually in the description. Mm-hmm. So your mileage may vary.
Mark, your thoughts on the vacuum palm?
Yeah, I had already thought about the bonuses to holding on to stuff. I don't know why my brain didn't latch on to grappling, because that's holding on to stuff, specifically your opponent. But I would say that it's anything at that point. If you're, you know, if you didn't have the clenching cleats and you're trying to stay on board the ship, but it's trying to throw you overboard, and you've got vacuum palms, you know, you grab the side of the ship, and now you've got that bonus to stay on the ship. Sure. There are a lot of ways that this could play into it. The text seems to read as if it's somewhat niche, in that it's only climbing, which, you know, only comes up when you need to climb something, which oddly enough seems to come up quite frequently. But again, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat, in that you can fly. Rocket Rangers can fly, you know, supply spell, a lot of different ways to do that, which just goes to show game masters, you don't always have to figure out the solutions to the problems. You just have to present the problems and then let your players figure out the solutions based on the tools that they have at hand. It's probably a good idea to figure out a couple of solutions so you don't paint them into a corner and then everybody throws their hands up and says, okay, well, game's over. But this is one of those points where, you know, you've put this tool in the palm, literally in the palms of their hands, what can I do with this? Well, the text says climbing. If we want to extrapolate logically away from that, what else can we do with that? Well, there's a lot that we can do with that. Just ask your player, what could we do with this? And their players will come up with some stuff for you. I like it. It is a path that is very expensive if you want to go down 5, that path.
Each.
Yep. But as Jay pointed out, now I might say that, you know, it does say upgrade increases ignore 6 points penalties with just one, right?
Right. The second one also makes it favored, so
yeah,
it's good.
I kind of, how are you climbing, you know, one handed with this vacuum thing where this hand can't hold on, especially if you get it very sheer.
Well, still
hold on. Well, yeah, but you can hold on, but how do you climb if I'm climbing a very sheer surface that I have to vacuum this palm onto? What's this hand holding onto when I let go of this vacuum palm?
You can do it without the vacuum.
Anyway.
It's only DN16.
Yeah,
anyone can Spider-Man up that.
Whatever. We're gonna suspend disbelief for a little bit and move on. I like it. It's a very good upgrade. It's a very expensive upgrade. You get to make those decisions if it's worth it or not.
Yeah, I would use the climbing thing for holding on. Also, like, not just climbing, but if you just, hey, I'm gonna fall out this window and I'm not necessarily climbing, but I'm gonna, you know, smack the side of the skyscraper on my way down with my vacuum palm, boom, okay, that's fine, instead of falling to your death, or as you said, not getting knocked off the ship. Or I was even picturing like getting shot off like a cannonball over to that aircraft over there and just I'm stuck on it, you know. Type thing could be really, really fun and thematic and dramatic and all of that. So this is something, as Jay said, it is so ridiculous in making climbing tests not, you know, like they're nothing expensive. 10,000 if you want both of them, plus you have to have both arms, so you're talking 20,000. So if somebody's going to spend 20,000 Game Master, let them come up with ridiculous stuff to use it with.
Yeah, he's right.
If they're going to spend, you know, this is three perks, you know, with a little leftover if you go with the, what is it, the
recalibrated
cyberware. If they're going to spend three perks on this, let them go crazy with all the stuff that they can do. The grapple tests. I would basically, in my head, just have the favored stuff be anything that deals with holding on to whatever, and then the climb penalties, or, you know, ignoring those, or for when you're climbing, and just let the player go nuts on some of the stuff that they do it, and especially if they're going to add the clenching cleats and all that stuff to it. You know, if that's what they want their character to be, I could see that being a very fun character in game, as the player's coming up with all types of stuff to do. We did the arm, we did the legs. So the next one is Trigon body plating. So this subdermal armor is grafted throughout the patient's body, increasing overall durability. It adds +2 armor. It provides full body coverage. The armor bonus does not stack with other armor as usual. So what are your thoughts on Trigon body plating, Jay? And this one is 6,000.
So it is fairly expensive, but it's got those magic words of full body. So that actually does do a fair amount. It's subdermal armor, so it's completely hidden unless you're scanned or something. So it's pretty good. It does sort of make a mockery of all of the armor on your hard plast limbs, since you would have had it anyway at that point. if you're not going, it's a weird situation, because if you're going to be like a big melee tough guy combatant, you're probably going to be wearing much better armor than this. However, it's plus two armor with no max dex bonus that's completely hidden. So that, again, works well for more infiltrator types, nodders, snipers, like all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of expensive because, like, you can get reflect armor, but that gives plus two armor for $250. Mm-hmm. Right? So the big bonus is that it's not visible, full body, and it, you know, everywhere. So it's good, but it's kind of expensive in comparison.
Mark, what are your thoughts on Trigon body plating?
It's a way to go. I think the big plus to this is that it's not noticed. It's under your skin. The problem I have with secret stuff in the Cyber Papacy that's hidden from view is that, you know, they've got the scanners and stuff everywhere, and you would think that they would use them. So you have to physically write it out of the, why don't they have, you know, in a top secret area, we today, modern times, we can detect this when you walk through the airport. So, you know, why, if you're trying to walk into a reliquary from the front door, why do they not have a scanner set up that scans everybody as they come in? I cannot imagine why they wouldn't have that. And if they scanned someone who has armor on as they walk in, they're at least going to give them a cursory glance to say, who is this person? Oh, they don't look like they have armor. They are hiding the armor. Oh, wait a minute. All right, let's go have somebody, you know, meet and greet that person to figure out what's going on here and assess the threat. So, is it worth it? Again, your mileage may vary. You get to decide. There's, as Jay pointed out, Irmesh, there's much better, much cheaper ways to get the armor points up if you're going to be a striker. If you have a concept in mind for your character and this matches that concept, then here you go. But it is very expensive to get to the plus two. I would kind of like to see the hard plas armor bonuses stack with this, just because it makes sense to me that if you're going to either plate over the leg itself, or you're going to build it up in such a way that the leg goes on around the armor plating. And I would think I'm going with the former rather than the latter, more likely, in that I'm plating over a hard plas leg, and it just makes sense to me that all of a sudden the limbs, the arms and legs now have plus four on them instead of plus two. But I mean, that's not the way the rules are written, and that's not the way the game is played, but that would, to me, make more sense to that plus two for the limb kind of thing. And this then becomes more flexible, and the only way you get that stacking bonus is if you do these two things together, which makes the price point not as hard to swallow to me, because now my legs and my arms are better, which were expensive too. So I kind of like that, in that it justifies the high expense to a degree, in that I get something for it that nobody else gets, right? And that to me is a lot about what makes your character special, is having something nobody else gets. You spent your experience points to get this thing that makes your character special. What makes you special? Well, in this case, what makes me special is that my arms and my legs have a stacking bonus that nobody else gets. And I spent a lot of experience to get that. So, but it doesn't, let me be clear, that's not how it plays. Not rules as written. That's not how it plays.
Yeah.
Can you play it that? That's also not how I played it in the past, because I haven't seen it come up. But I might consider it if it were to come up in the future. As a house rule in my cosm.
We're just spitballing here.
Yeah. We are just spitballing here. I want to be clear about that. I'm sure Liam is going to come up with the official thing in just a second, but that's my thoughts on where this is and what would make the cost, because we've been talking about a lot of very expensive cyberware here, and that to me would make the costs come in line a little bit better. Anyway.
So, in my opinion, as written, this is useful depending, again, and a lot of this is really does depend on you and your table. If your table doesn't worry about times where your Storm Knights might not have armor, it might not be as relevant. If your Storm Knights refuse to go into the club without armor, you know, then this is not going to be as relevant. If you're playing in a game where your players, and I've had this happen in games that I've played, my players, I've had something, they were like in their house at night and heard some stuff outside, jumped out of bed and ran out, and they specifically said, we're not putting on armor because logically it would be too much time to do so. This is a perk, or this is a cyberware to get for those situations. If you have those times where you and your table have that, sometimes you don't get your armor because of the situation. And if you have a player who wants their character to always have armor, and then they might even be like, I'm going to put some hollow mesh over it, or whatever the one is that's +3, and yes, I know that they don't stack, but this +2 is my backup, and if that's what they want, then this would be more advantageous. As far as the house rule for stacking, I wouldn't mind it. I don't know if I would go for a full +4 or if I would say +3, but I think that would somewhat make sense if you're going to spend that much money for getting your arms, your legs, and this. As Jay said, one of the big words is full body coverage. There are certain things that we talked about affects the lowest armor. This is full body. There's also things that affect people if they don't have full body armor, so this has you covered in that. So it's this is another one. How is this going to be used in the games you're playing? Look at the cost of 6,000 and determine, is it worth that for your character to have the Trigon body plating? But I don't
and ask your game master.
Mm-hmm. What their thoughts are on it, but adds +2 armor, full body coverage, that could be worth it, you know, depending. So we can move on to the Trigon Cyber Skell. This installation involves a reinforcement of the character's skeletons. I got 5 skeletons inside me. Either by reinforcing bones or replacing them outright, the character gains +1 toughness bonus, and this one is 5,000. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on the Cyber Skell?
This is one of those a bonus no one else can have kind of things, because your toughness is based off of your strength. And it is possible to get an increase to your strength, right? And then plus your armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus any toughness bonus you might have.
And the toughness bonus, I think, is the most rare of those.
The most rare. In fact, like, this is like one, the only one I can think of offhand. But is there another one?
There is a
Isn't there a prowess perk?
I want to say there might be a prowess or an Adinos only that you might get armor, like 2 armor and 1 toughness, and it's like
that's what you want.
But there might be like a super ability that gives you, but they are very specific perks, not necessarily big general that everybody can get. Yeah. So this is the cyber papacy version of their +1 toughness.
This is why a lot of tanks tend to be cyber papacy characters. Aside from dwarves and Tharkoldu, cyber papacy pretty much has the best armor available to begin with, as far as getting like +4 armor across the board, and then just add another toughness. There you go. Easily worth 5,000. Like, No brainer. If you want to tank, you take this.
Mark, your thoughts on the Cyber Skull?
I like it. It's a toughness bonus. They're hard to come by. If you're going to stand toe-to-toe with things and take damage, you want this. If you can figure out how to get more of them, that all the better. But yeah, you want this. This is absolutely worth it, especially if you expect to take damage. If you're one of those characters that's squishy and you've designed a squishy and you don't want to take damage, that's fine. But if you are building the hard plast arm melee striker that's going to stand toe to toe with the Cyber Knight and trade blows back and forth, you want this.
Yeah, I agree. The it being a toughness bonus is really nice. It's going to stack with any strength bonus that is that increases toughness. It's going to stack with any armor. AP is not going to get through it because it's a toughness bonus. It's not an armor bonus. It stacks.
Yep.
So I was really quickly looking.
Bone marked is the Adinos. They are generally shunned by Adinos. The character gains +1 toughness and armor +2.
So this.
Go ahead.
The bone scar. I was just looking. I was pretty sure at some point I picked this up for my cyber musketeer, and yes, I did. So I didn't do the second arm or anything, but the +1 toughness was like, yes, this is worth it. So this is definitely a nice starred one. And then we'll have our last one, which is the Trigon EMP shield. It's 4,000. This installation wraps the character's cyberware in heavy shielding, increasing his resistance to EMP or other attacks that can shut down cyberware. Attempts to shut down a wearer's cyberware are contests instead of tests, and the attacker's test is disfavored. Additionally, the character's cyberware cannot be detected by the effects that use electromagnetic radiation. And if I didn't say it, because it was 3 seconds ago, so I forgot already. 4,000. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on the EMP shield?
Extraordinarily niche. As far as I know, there's only really like two things that do an EMP to cyberware. One is the electromagnetic pulse. I think it's the second one. Because there's electromagnetic blast and electromagnetic pulse. So the more powerful one, because the initial one does not affect cyberware. And TL-EMP grenades, I think, are the only two things that actually, unless there's a monster that specifically has it or something, that specifically targets cyberware like that. So for 4,000 bucks, a pretty niche. I think this exists more to give to cyber priests, really, so that the cyber witches can't just completely shut them down in one shot.
Mark, what are your thoughts on the EMP shield?
I think the value in this one is in the very last sentence, really, where it says, additionally, the character cyberware cannot be detected by effects that use electromagnetic radiation. There you have the way that you walk into the reliquary and nobody sets off the alarms. If you're getting it for just that thing, though, that's very expensive to just get that one thing. Is there a Cosm card that shuts down cyberware? There might be.
There might be a Cosm card that does something.
I don't know if it's an EMP though.
But see, if there's a Cosm card that's got an electric event that shuts down yours, there's somehow it's tied to electromagnetics or whatever, or it's center text.
I think it's a mandatory upgrade or something like that.
Something like that. I might allow that. I mean, you spent $4,000 to get this thing. I might let you sidestep. Like, if there's a center text that shuts down your cyberware, or a Cosm card that affects it, and you specifically went and spent, because this is $4,000. You know, if you presumably you're not going to take this at the outset, which means this is going to be a perk later on. That's almost all of it, if it's not recalibrated cyberware or something, right? So, or at least half of it. So, I mean, other than that, niche, wouldn't take it.
Yeah, I think if it, this one, let me look just to see. It's called the EMP Shield. If this would have been, and I don't think it is by quick look, when Torg Eternity first came out, I think it would have been a lot more useful because, as Jay said, EMPs usually don't affect cyberware because there were a lot of spells and other things that completely just shut down electronics. And when used against cyber papacy characters, whether NPCs or Storm Knights, it would shut them down. And then there was all these questions of like, what if I have a cybernetic heart? What if I have a, you know, do I just die? What happens? And then there was a rules errata clarification that said that if anything has wounds, that these lesser EMP things do not affect things with wounds, considering, you know, hey, if this is a street beater, maybe, but if it's a cyber priest, probably not. If it's a storm knight or stormer, it's, you know, not going to affect them. And then there was the greater one that came out as a, so this first spell that I had that I took that I wanted to shut down cyberware doesn't work. I want a spell that shuts down cyberware that works. So then there was a, you know, a bigger spell put in it, but it is so few things that actually affect, so few EMP things that specifically affect cyberware. Like they'll affect cars and normal computers and anything, but not cyberware. This could be very niche, especially depending
you,
on how
you need you, an outstanding success on an electromagnetic blast, problem. The beta clearance one, to right. affect cyberware.
So that's what, you know, this is against. Now, as Mark's point, yes, this would definitely stop all the little alarms when you pass through the metal detectors, you know, and stuff would be like, yeah, no problem. So infiltration wise, the if this was just like Trigon shielding, and it was like your cyberware can't be detected if you don't want it, because sometimes you might want it to show, hey, I'm a loyal citizen of the you know, the cyber papacy, I've replaced some of my body with, you know, some of the sinful flesh with the holy cyberware, have it on off switch, and just as a, if you choose to turn it on, then your cyberware is just not detected. And say that that is the 4,000. If that is worth it to you, then I would say go for it and just kind of forget about the whole EMP thing, except for that one time in your campaign that it might show up. But I like the shielding aspect of just the scanners, and I wouldn't in any way, shape, or form try to determine, oh, this is an electromagnetic radiation scanner, and that's a blah blah blah. I would just say it can't be detected, and go with it. So, hopefully that explained the prosthetics for cyberware. And we, again, thank you for either watching or listening to this episode of the DCD. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to hit a like, put a comment down there, hit subscribe, be like New Frank, and send us an email at torgdcd@gmail.com and write us ask us questions. We'll try to answer those. Give us comments. We will comment back. But until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Bye.
Bite the like.
Yeah, bite the like.